Hello and welcome to the Olmsted Baptist Church radio broadcast, preaching Jesus Christ, crucified and risen from the dead for the forgiveness and salvation of sinners, and returning to the earth soon to rule and reign as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And now here is Pastor Jim Duke with today's message.
Thank you for tuning into our broadcast again. We're picking up our study here in Mark chapter 14. We'll back up to verse number 22 to get the entire thought as we see our Lord instituting the Lord's Supper, his memorial supper, an ordinance for his church here at the time of the last Passover that he observes. And as they did eat, Mark 14:22, and as they did eat, Jesus took bread and blessed and brake it and gave it unto them and said, "Take, eat, this is my body." And as we said last time, it's not that the Lord's saying that this is turning into his body. It's not possible that anything upon earth could turn into the Lord. I know the Lord can do anything. But see, we need to reckon, as it tells us in Corinthians, we need to discern about the Lord's body correctly. Can it be that the Lord's body that bread made by mankind could turn into the Lord's body? It's not necessary for it to turn into the Lord's body. The Lord's body, the Lord Jesus, in his flesh, is at the right hand of the Father in heaven making intercession for the saints. And so this is a symbol, as baptism is a symbol, and as we mentioned last time, not a sacrament. This is not a way to invoke the grace of God. But this is a point of obedience for the Lord's church, not for his family, not for all those who are saved, but for those that are in his church. There's a specialness that's there in his church, and he's given this to his church, not to all, but to his church. Okay, and so he says, "Take, eat, this is my body." And he took the cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, and they all drank of it. And he said unto them, "This is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many." And notice it says many, not all. Do you believe that the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ was shed for Pharaoh? Do you believe that it was shed for Cain? Do you believe that it was shed for Judas? Do you believe that the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ was shed for Herod? That put John the Baptist to death? Do you believe, I think I mentioned Pilate. Do you think the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ was shed for Jezebel and other wicked kings and devilish following people? Do you think the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ was shed for them? Had it been shed for them, they would have been saved. But the Lord Jesus Christ says, like all other sacrifices, the sacrifice of himself is particular unto the many, but not unto the all. Brother Jim, are you limiting anybody on salvation? You know what? I don't know who the Lord Jesus Christ's blood will be applied to, but I know the message that he gives to sinners, that you're to repent of your sins and that we are to repent of our sins and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's how sinners are saved. It's not our business about who the sacrifice was made for. We need to understand that salvation is of the Lord, and as it was, you know, were the sacrifices that Israel offered under the command of the Lord, which was right for the time, and we know that they didn't justify any, but it was out of obedience to show that there needed to be something better. That is the Lord Jesus Christ. All those sacrifices for those hundreds of years, all that blood of animals that was shed, couldn't touch one sin, and that was known by those who offered the sacrifices up. It was right for them to obey the Lord in doing so, but over time, it just showed the impossibility of the ability of man to be able to keep any standard that God set. There needed to be someone else. The law showed that we're guilty and we need a Savior outside of ourselves from what we could do, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. And so those sacrifices were in particular. Those sacrifices were not offered for the Philistines, for the Moabites, for the Canaanites. They were offered for the children of Israel. They were sacrifices in particular. The blood, the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ, his body, his blood, his life, it was directed toward a people. Now, we don't know who that is. So our Lord has commanded us to preach the gospel to every creature. And you know how we know that they're of the many? Because they'll believe. I mean, they'll believe with a life-changing belief. And he says, I've taken this New Testament and I've sealed it with my blood. It is written in blood, in a sense. It is sealed by his own blood. There's no greater statement that the Lord would make that he would keep this new covenant than sealing it with his blood. It shows that he is indeed dedicated to it. You know what the new covenant is? The old covenant was, here's the law and you keep it. And we failed in every way. The Jews did. The world has. You know what the new covenant is? The new covenant is, I will give the sacrifice, God says. I will give the sacrifice and you believe in me to do it all. And that's what the New Testament is. He says here, I love this part, verse 25, verily I say unto you, I will drink no more of the fruit of the vine until that day I drink it new in the kingdom of God. And so our Lord Jesus Christ gives a promise. He tells the disciples there, and I believe that it's conveyed unto us as people, and namely his church, that he will not partake of that fruit of the vine until we're there with him. He's waiting on us. As he told our brethren in the book of John, Philip and Thomas were at hand, and he says, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again. I'll come again. I'm not going to save you and leave you here and just be separated forever. I will come again and bring you to myself, and that where I am, there you may be also. What a wondrous thing that the Lord Jesus is thinking about his children, those that he has saved and will save. He's waiting on us, and he will come at the directive of the Father to gather the saints into the clouds, as the Lord Jesus Christ comes in the clouds one day, world over, he'll take us out of here, and we'll be with our Lord Jesus, as the scripture says forevermore. And when we see him, we'll be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And so he says, verily, it's true, truly it's true. I'm not going to drink any more of this fruit of the vine until I drink it new in the Father's kingdom, in the kingdom of God. Okay. And it says in other passages in the gospels with you, verse number 26, and when they had sung in him, they went out into the Mount of Olives. And so they sang, and then the Passover had been completed. And then the Lord instituted the Lord's Supper. And then they sang a hymn. Verse number 27, and Jesus saith unto them, all shall be offended because of me this night. For it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep shall be scattered. And so now, after this great, wonderful time, this new ordinance, another ordinance beyond baptism that's given to the church to remember the Lord Jesus Christ, to typify fully and completely the gospel, the Lord's Supper and the Lord's death, the baptism and the burial and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. The gospel is shown in the two ordinances. They sing a hymn. Don't you know they were filled at that point. They were really enjoying the fellowship with the Lord. And then the Lord says, you're all going to be offended because of me this night. For it is written, the scripture again, the Old Testament scripture, the Lord brings that up again. Many say that the Old Testament is just not necessary. You know what? Jesus thought it was necessary. He keeps referring to the Old Testament scriptures. He keeps bringing them up. And somebody would say, we just don't need the Old Testament anymore. Sure we do. We need the Old Testament. The Lord Jesus used the Old Testament. For it is written, I will smite the shepherd and the sheep shall be scattered. He's going to be smitten. He's going to be afflicted. He's going to be given over and taken by the Jews and given over the hands of the Gentiles, and he's going to be killed. But he says here in verse 28, but after that I am risen, I will go before you into Galilee. So he makes yet another promise to the disciples, the apostles there. I'm going to go to Galilee after I raise from the dead. That's what he's talking about. Our brethren there are scratching their heads. It tells us in the scripture in several places where they say, what's he mean risen? What's he talking about being risen? They just didn't understand. There were, it was held from them. and to understand. But after the Lord accomplished his gospel, did raise from the dead and appeared to them, then they understood. Praise be to God. And Peter said unto him, although all shall be offended, yet will not I. And so Peter is very zealous. He's very jealous over the Lord. He said, they all might be offended, but I'm not going to be offended. Not me. I'm not going to be. I'm dedicated to you, Lord. I'm dedicated to you in every way. Though all be shall be offended, yet will not I. Jesus saith unto him, verily I say unto thee. So again, when the Lord says verily or verily, verily, truly, truly, I say unto thee that this day, that this day, even this night, before the cock crow twice, two times, thou shalt deny me thrice. And I do marvel and wonder about our Lord. Our Lord knows that Peter is going to do this. Our Lord is not going to intervene to keep him from doing so, because it's necessary that our Lord be betrayed and be left alone to suffer these things. But the Lord isn't going to just leave Peter alone. The Lord says in other passages that he's going to pray for Peter. It says in other passages in the gospel that the Lord Jesus tells Peter, said, Satan has desired to sift you like wheat. What a ominous consideration that Satan would want to sift us like wheat. I think what's the Lord is getting at there is that Satan is making the accusation before God that there's nothing to Peter, that Peter's a bunch of blow and he's a bunch of self-will, and that there's no grain, there's no fruit in Peter. He's not saved even. He won't stand. The Lord Jesus tells in these other passages, but I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not. You know, we think we do so much on our own. But our Lord Jesus tells Peter, you're going to deny me. You're going to deny me three times before the rooster crows twice in the morning. It's going to happen, Peter. As much as you say that you're going to stick by my side and you're going to stay with me, it's going to happen. You're going to deny me. You're going to deny me three times over before the rooster crows twice. As the sun is coming up tomorrow morning, you will have denied me three times before that rooster sounds off twice. But I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted, and the Lord's not talking about Peter being saved. He's talking about Peter being committed to the Lord in every way. Peter's going to be in major part not worried and concerned about this world and the affairs of this world, but he's going to be concerned with the calling of the Lord upon his life, the directive of the Lord that the Lord has given him to fulfill, and what the Lord says goes, that what Jesus says is the truth. And you know what? If you're under the hearing of my voice and you've been saved, and maybe you've been wayward and away from the Lord, and you're not faithful to the Lord in one of his churches, you know what? You need to be converted. I'm not saying that you're not saved. Only you and the Lord really know that. But you need to be converted. I need to be converted. We need to be dedicated to the Lord, to believe what he says, and that's just it. No ifs, ands, or buts. So may our Lord help us in that. I see that our time is long past for now. May the Lord bless you with the word and truth of his gospel. Farewell until next time.
Thank you for tuning in and listening to our broadcast. We wish to invite you, your family, and friends to our services on Sundays at 10 a.m., 11 a.m., and 2 p.m., and Wednesday evenings at 7 p.m. Olmsted Baptist Church is located in southwest Logan County, Kentucky, just 2.5 miles off of U.S. Highway 79. Between Russellville and Guthrie, turn on to State Route 775, also known as Olmsted Road. Drive 2.5 miles and you'll find our church house on the right, just beside Whipple Reel Creek. We are interested in any questions or comments you might have about our broadcast. Feel free to contact us by telephone at 270-726-3954, by email at obchurch@gmail.com, or on the web at www.olmstedbaptistchurch.org. Tune in next time for another edition of the Olmsted Baptist Church radio broadcast.